We're happy to have everyone with us again. Welcome. And I wanted to mention that today would have been the 58th anniversary of Jim and Luana. And so want to, again, we extend our sympathy to Luana and our comfort. But that was a wonderful testimony of their life together, that long and happy marriage that way. But today we're going to take on a difficult question, I would say, of study of Scripture. And we understand that sometimes it is necessary to make a study that we examine doctrines and teachings that are in the world today. Because if we don't take the time to examine them, then they become accepted and without study sometimes. So the question that we want to look at this morning, why does the Bible say that we are saved by faith, but also say that we are not saved by faith only? And we would always say that, for one thing, the Word of God does not contradict itself. That all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so, whenever we come across something in the Bible that there is a teaching of two things that seem to be kind of a contrast like this, it's important that we would pay careful attention. The Bible says in many places that we are saved by faith. I don't think there is anyone out there in the religious world today that studies the Bible at all that would disagree with that, that salvation is by faith in Christ. And that we don't have to look far to be able to find those passages that speak about the importance of faith, the necessity of faith, that faith is essential, that we cannot be saved without faith. John 3 and verse 16, of course, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have Romans 1 and verse 16. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Jew first, also the Greek." He talks about the importance of faith in that gospel. Coming over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, he said, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And on we can go, and we can find many other passages that we can read. And in many of these passages, the thing that stands out is that faith is the only thing mentioned in these verses. When it talks about salvation, it doesn't talk about a whole lot of different things that a person is required in order to be saved. It just talks about faith. And we can find it both in the positive sense and the negative sense, that without faith we cannot be saved. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, for example, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And in John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Well, there's no question about that. And I want to make it absolutely clear that in presenting the lesson today is in no wise saying or implying that we have any doubt or reservation about this principle of faith that is the basis of our salvation, that we absolutely must have faith in Christ in order to be saved. But the question is, that we come to James chapter 2 and we find here a clear teaching also that ends in the statement being made that we are justified by works and not by faith only. Now it's a lengthy passage, and he begins in James chapter 2 and verse 14. And he said, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him?" And he goes on here. He talks about the fact that if a brother or sister is in need, and you say to that brother or sister, "Depart in peace. Be warmed and filled. We will pray for you. We will be thinking about you," all these different things. But you do not help them in that which they need. Is that really faith? Is his question. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, he says, is dead. He talks about the demons, that they have a faith in God. They have a faith in Christ. He said, someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect or complete? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." Well, we'll stop there in that reading and just point out the fact that here we have what might look like to be a contradiction when we first come across and look at that, because in so many other places we find the scripture saying we are saved by faith, and that's the only thing it talks about in that passage. Yet we come here and we see then that a man is not justified by faith only, but he's also justified by works. And it's not a denial of faith in this statement. He is assuming and acknowledging that yes, faith is necessary. We understand faith is necessary. But also, faith is demonstrated through works, and therefore, faith only is not able to justify us. It is a dead faith. Well, we understand then that all Scripture is inspired, and that we cannot take one Scripture and put it against another one and say we prefer this, and therefore we rule this out. We know this is not true. In spite of this, though, the problem is that today there are many in the religious world that continue to insist that we are saved by faith only. And that is why this is such an issue that we need to carefully study. We need to get out the Word of God and search through Scripture, as the Bereans speaks about in the book of Acts, that they searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Now, without doubt, man is saved by faith. But we are not justified by faith only. That statement is also there, and it's very clear. So why do many insist that we are saved by faith only in spite of what is said in the book of James? And that really gets to what I want to deal with and try to address that issue and that question. Now, whenever we think about faith only being taught in a positive way, or a way that is today considered to be an arch doctrine of being faithful to God's word, that a person who is considered to be in many places sound in the faith would believe without reservation, we're saved by faith and faith alone. And in saying that, they're without works. Works are not a part of our salvation. But whenever we add that one word only to what the Scripture says, we are adding to the Word of God. And the Bible tells us we are not to do that. We are not to add to the Word of God. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, the very ending of the Bible, John there in the book of Revelation, he said, "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, that if anyone adds to these words, these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city and the things which are written in this book." Now I would say that because the word only has been added as a central doctrine of Christianity in many churches today, that word itself is being added to the Word of God. And that when that word is added to the Word of God, there are other things of God's Word that have to be subtracted. Because you cannot add that word and still have everything else. That word, if it's added to the word faith, cancels out other things. And so you're not only adding to the Word of God, we're also would be subtracting from the Word of God. The danger of this, I believe, is that it will give a false assurance of salvation and an impression that a person, once they are saved, is secure. And whereas we find a consistent teaching in the Bible that I believe is very important for us all, is that we are to press on in our faith. We are continue to grow. We are continue to strive to be faithful to Christ in our life by growing in those things that Christ teaches us to do. And the danger of this doctrine, I believe, is that it gives people a sense of assurance that would actually encourage a laxness of faith. Because a person can be given an assurance they are saved and they cannot lose that in any way. So it's a serious matter. It's a serious teaching. This doctrine, I believe, when we trace it, it goes back to Martin Luther in the Reformation period of time. Back in the 1400s, Martin Luther was a young monk in the Catholic Church at that time, and he began to speak out against some of the abuses within the Roman Catholic Church. And among those, he was protesting against some of the works that they were teaching, indulgences and other doctrines of Catholicism that are actually not in the Bible. They have been added by the traditions within the Roman Catholic Church down through the centuries. And Martin Luther was a good student of the Bible. He spoke out against those abuses. And he upheld that salvation by faith is a key teaching of Scripture. And in that, though, Martin Luther, in reacting to the false doctrine of salvation by works, as it was understood within Roman Catholicism at that time, he created another false doctrine, salvation by faith only. And what Martin Luther did that many people may not be aware is that he had his own translation of the Bible into German. And in Romans chapter 3, and verse 28. The Bible says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. And Martin Luther actually added the word alone in that verse. And he said, we reckon a man to be justified by faith alone without the deeds of the law. Of course, alone only, that word was added into Luther's translation. And he was questioned about that. And there were biblical students, biblical scholars of that day that said, Martin Luther, how can you justify adding that word to the text? That word is not in the Greek text, that word alone. And he said, well, because of the way the German language, in order to make that thought clear, that word has to be supplied. So he refused to remove it. He said it has to be there in order to accurately render that verse. Well, then when he was approached about the book of James, his response in that was, he said, St. James's epistle is really a right strawy epistle. Now, an epistle of straw. He was comparing that with other books like the Book of Romans, Book of Galatians, Book of Ephesians, and so forth. And he's saying that the Book of James really doesn't have any solid weight behind it. It is a straw epistle. Well, you know, one time Paul, in speaking about our the work that we do, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said that if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. It seemed like he was, you know, he based that word off of that concept there, that the book of James is a straw epistle. It's very lightweight, so to speak. He did not deny it was part of the scripture, but that when you stack it up against the book of Romans, it doesn't measure up. That was his point. So as a result of that, the concept of faith only is believed that is what the Reformation stood for, was faith only, without the works that are necessary for salvation. Now, that brings up the importance of the word works. That does the Bible always mean the same thing by works when it uses that term? We find several times that Paul is speaking about we are saved by faith without works, apart from works. But does he always use that in the same way? Well, I believe not. I believe that there is actually different uses and shades of meaning behind the words works that are used in different contexts. Because when in John 6 and verse 28, some of the people came to Jesus and they said, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. Now He referring here to the works of God. The works of God is that we believe that Jesus Christ is the one whom God has sent. And that certainly is necessary for us to believe that Jesus was sent by God, that He is the Savior, the Christ. And so in speaking about that, we find that he is referring here to doing the works of God, that they would be necessary, those works. But when it comes to the works of men, we find in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And this is an interesting verse here, because he uses the word works in two different ways in this one passage. When he says there, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. He is speaking here about works of our own selves. Works of our own righteousness. We cannot work our own righteousness with God. There's not anything that we can do to give something of ourselves that will make us righteous with God. We cannot earn our salvation. We cannot have any reason to boast. And therefore, our salvation is by grace through faith. God has provided Jesus Christ as the Savior when He died on the cross. It is a gift of God. And it is through our faith in that sacrifice that we are able to be saved. It's not of anything we have done or able to do. And we understand that. We understand that the point that he is making here is that our salvation is nothing that we can boast about of what we have done. We can't do enough for the Lord of our own choice and of our own will to save ourselves and make ourselves worthy of salvation. It's because of the grace of God. And that the blood of Christ was shed. Jesus gave His life. And through that, we have a sacrifice. We can be saved and our sins forgiven. But does that mean that works are not necessary? That there are no works, whatever, that are necessary? No, because he comes back in the very next verse and he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God prepared before that we should walk in good works. Now, those good works, though, are not the same ones that would cause us to be able to boast. They are an expression of our part of our gratitude and thankfulness for Jesus dying for our sins, that our life is changed and we are committed to good works. We practice good works. We help others. We do that which is good. And we do those things which God prepared for us to do, not what we devise on our own. We do those works which God designates. These are the works that I want you to be doing as my children. God intended for us, prepared for us, that to be done. But now there are also works of the law. Works of the law of Moses, the deeds of the law. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul there in speaking about Abraham, "What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." Now, before that, in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, he identified that he is speaking about the deeds of the law in Romans 3:20. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And a lot of people go to Romans chapter 4 to teach that we are saved by faith only. And they point out this example from Abraham. Well, the point that Paul is making here is that Abraham was not justified by the deeds of the law of Moses, because he died 400 years before the law of Moses was given. He could not have been doing the deeds of the law. The law didn't exist in the day of Abraham. He was justified by his faith in God. Now, that did not mean that Abraham did not do good works of his obedience in his life to God. We find him time and time again demonstrating his faith in God through his obedience to the will of God. Not perfectly. But Abraham was a man of faith, and his faith was demonstrated through his actions. And that's the point that James is making. in James chapter 2. That saving faith, anywhere we find it in the Bible, is obedient faith. It is a faith that is a comprehensive faith. It is a faith of confident trust in God, and God is trustworthy, and we take Him at His word and we obey His word. We seek to honor and glorify God by obeying Him in His will and His directions that He has made known to us. And that is what Abraham did. We're not justified by our works, by earning our salvation. We are able to have a faith, though, that is also a faith that has obedience of works and involved in that. We find that there were those mentioned in John chapter 12 and verse 42 and 43 among the Jews that believed in Christ. And they believed that Jesus was the Christ. But it says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him. This were the rulers of the Jews. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now here were people that were in a difficult spot because of the influence of the Pharisees. They believed that Jesus was the Christ. But if they confessed their faith in Jesus, they would be cast out of the synagogue. Therefore, they did not confess it. To confess their faith in God, in Christ, would be to openly acknowledge we believe in Him. They weren't willing to do that, even though they did believe in their hearts. Today, that's one of the points that is often brought up, is that if a person believes in Christ and accepts Him into your heart, you are saved in that instant, in that moment. Just accept the Lord into your heart. But it's just a mental assent. It is that I believe Jesus is the Christ. But what do you do with that belief? These people believed in their minds that He was the Christ. That wasn't the problem. They understood if they confessed Him, they were going to be thrown out of the synagogue, and therefore they weren't willing to make that commitment. Well, how does God view that? Jesus said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. So the issue isn't that we accept Jesus into our heart. The issue is that we obey Him in our actions of our life. We commit to Him. We are openly confessing Him before men, and there's a repentance, there is baptism, and all of those things are an expression of our faith that we have in Christ. But it's not a faith only. That's the point. There is an obedience of faith. Paul spoke about this when he's writing the book of Romans, and he said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, when a person believes in Christ, we are to be buried with Him. We are to die with Him. And then we're to be raised to walk in newness of life. But that is an expression of our faith. That is a commitment that we make to God. And in verse 17 and 18, he goes on to say, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. Saving faith in the New Testament is an obedient faith. We are told that we are saved by faith. Absolutely, we are saved by faith. But are we saved by faith only? The Scripture says no. It says that if your brother is in need and you don't help your brother, what good is your faith? It's not of very much value, is it? You say you believe in Christ. I want to follow Jesus. Jesus is very clear. We have a responsibility here to our brother and sister. But I don't help my brother or sister in time of need. And so he says that is actually a dead faith. Can that faith save him? And we find many other things, quite honestly, that the Bible speaks of that are necessary as a part of our salvation. We spoke about last week the fact that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these," he says, "is love." And earlier in that chapter, as he was speaking, and he said, "And though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." Now his point being there, is your faith going to save you if you don't have love? What good is your faith if there's no love for your brother? And there are many examples that we can point out of that. The Scripture, though, teaches salvation by faith. Men have added the word only. And that created a great problem. Because once that word is accepted, now if we consider the question now, is baptism necessary for salvation? Well, obviously no. It can't be. It cannot be necessary for salvation if we're saved by faith only. That very accepting of that word has created where we have to take the view that therefore baptism is not necessary. I would argue that when the Bible speaks of being saved by faith, that it includes baptism. It includes repentance. It includes confession. Sometimes in the Bible, when it speaks about a person that said, going all the way back to when they believed, it speaks about that as their conversion. When they believed, that's when they were saved. But what does it mean by that? It's not just meaning that they believed only. It's talking about that they were converted to Christ. They believed, they repented, they confessed, they were baptized. The Philippian jailer, for example, he called for the Paul and Silas in the middle of the night. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and of all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. He believed in God because he accepted Christ, he committed himself to Christ, he was baptized the same hour of the night. He rejoiced, having believed in God. So it's used in a comprehensive way in the Scripture. And so there is sometimes a teaching that we need to examine it carefully. And I encourage us all to do that with your Bible. Search your Scripture to see what does God say about this very important topic. Well, thank you for your attention. We're going to stand and sing the song of invitation, number 103. And if there are any today who are here in any way subject to the invitation of Jesus, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.